How's it going, everyone? Welcome back to Hashtag Spread the Sand Season 2. I'm your host, Dylan Thompson, and with me on today's episode is Ryan Gillespie of the PA Azzurri. Ryan opens up about his experience with the United States Beach Soccer National Team, a recent injury he experienced, and how he stays motivated to come back even stronger. If you have a second, like, comment, subscribe, rate, and review Hashtag Spread the Sand on whatever platform you're listening to podcasts on, because it helps grow the show and the beautiful game along with it. Without further ado, Hashtag Spread the Sand Season 2, Episode 13, Ryan Gillespie. So, Ryan, I know that you're currently going through a major injury recovery, and, you know, that's impacting your life pretty heavily right now. Do you want to talk a little bit about that experience for you?
Yeah, sure. Back in October, I was doing some work on my business, enhancing the building a little bit, doing some construction with a friend of mine. And I was up in a little attic space and ended up crashing through the floor and landing on the floor below. So I fell about 12 feet. And in the process of falling, my feet got caught and it flipped me over. So when I fell through, I actually landed on my head and neck, which caused severe damage to my vertebrae. So it fractured three of the vertebrae and then ruptured two of the discs. So I ended up having to have surgery a few weeks later in November to repair that. So what they did was they removed one of the vertebrae and crushed it up and put a spacer in between the two, and then filled that spacer with my bone so that it will eventually fuse together with the one above and below. So they removed both discs and then put a plate and some screws in there to keep everything solid, and then ultimately a waiting game for that to heal. And so right now it's in the process of healing still, but I'm getting after it every single day to recover. In the very beginning, it was even hard to raise, like most of the injury impacted my right side of my torso. So the nerves that run down to my chest, tricep, shoulder, didn't impact my legs whatsoever. Didn't really impact the left side much, a little bit here or there, but nothing significant. But in the very beginning, I mean, I couldn't even raise my arm over my head. I got to about here and that was about it. So the nerves got impacted so much that they basically stopped talking to the muscles. So for about 3 months now, since the surgery happened, those muscles just weren't doing anything. They weren't firing, nothing. Now certain muscles were, so I could still move and I could, you know, move my arm, but it was muscles that really aren't designed to do that. So they were just kind of compensating. Mm-hmm. So just recently, within the last 2 weeks, I was doing my normal workout routine, and which I do every single day, and I felt the chest muscle fire and hold contraction. So it took about 3 months for that to even do anything. Previously, I might have felt like a fluttering, the muscle would kind of flutter and just but not really hold any contraction. But 2 weeks ago, it started firing. And then that was on a Sunday. And then the following Tuesday, I was at my friend who does physical therapy, and we've been working together. I do most of the rehab myself, but he gives me some recommendations to do and everything. And I had him check my tricep, and that tricep started firing that Tuesday. So I was like jumping up and down. So exciting for me to, you know, for 3 months of just hard work, not so much that I'm trying to like push more weight and, you know, get stronger at this point. That's not the focus of my upper body. It's just movement. Just the more I move, the more the nerves and the brain and the muscles talk. And that movement is what really has been driving those nerves to just start to work again. And then once they start working, now I can add weight. I can add like loading, because for the first time, I what was it? So this past weekend, I did an upper body workout that wasn't a lot of weight, but just the sheer fact that it's moving and contracting, I was so sore. And it was like, no, it was minimal weight at best, but I was just happy. Like that soreness was just such a good feeling. Most people don't associate muscle soreness with a good feeling, but for me, you know, not feeling that for 3 months was just huge. So my recovery, you know, for those of you guys on the podcast, you might not know what I do, but I own a small personal training and sports performance studio. And, you know, I train athletes and I train everyday people. I mean, I do kind of everything. So I'm just using my knowledge from years and years of experience. I kind of got into this industry. I have a bachelor's and master's degree in exercise science. And just using all my knowledge and tools. Sometimes, you know, as an athlete, you know, myself, you know, I'm sometimes my own worst enemy when it comes to that. You know, I want to push too hard or get back too fast. But I kind of humbled myself a little bit and just really trying to focus on just a systematic approach of, you know, not, this isn't about gaining strength right now. It's just getting my body to move again. And then when it starts moving, which is now kind of where we are in the process, now is when I can really start to ramp, again, it's kind of a systematic approach of ramping up the rehab and recovery and adding more either exercises or adding a little bit, you know, micro improvements of weight in order to get those muscles a little stronger again. So, but that's
and I mean, where
I'm at right now.
Ryan, you and I met at the North American Sand Soccer Championships. I want to say it's in 2019. And at that time, I had met you and you were a relatively big guy. And then I started following you on Instagram and I was like, you know, this is his passion. And, you know, when this accident happened to you, I was obviously happy to share awareness and try to help, you know, support you in any way that you could be supported. But what I noticed from that too, and this kind of speaks to your personality and your genuineness, you know, the tournament itself, the event also shared your story and encouraged people to help support you in any way that they could. So that's, you know, an appreciation for you, for one, for being a genuine person and obviously striving to, you know, continue to show that both on the sand and off and with your own business as well. Yeah. And you talk, it's funny, you talk about the minimal weight that you have been lifting. I've been following your recovery and I would say that that's a decent amount of weight for some people. So, I mean, for you.
Some people have said that. So yeah. I know I've been posting some things on my Instagram and Facebook, kind of working mostly on my legs right now, because those aren't really impacted. So some of the stuff I'm doing, you know, people will send me messages and say, you know, maybe I need to have that surgery because I can't. So I'm motivated, extremely motivated to be back 100%. And I will say, you know, from my focus, you know, like I said, that, you know, working every single day. Now I'm not working, like I'll do lower body one day and upper body and kind of go back and forth. But there's certain exercises I do for my arm, just movement quality stuff that I'm doing every single day to get that back. And yeah, I'm extremely motivated and humbled. I will say this, you know, I didn't realize how many people I have impacted and felt the need to support me. My friend who, I'll call him out, my good friend, Sam Baker, who was here when I fell. And he was at the hospital when I got out of my injury. And I just remember him sitting on the side, you know, and we're just talking and chatting away. And I might've been a little high on some pain medication at the time, but he's just like, you know, typing away at his phone. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he just turned to me. He's like, we got this. And he's on his phone with a couple of his friends. And they created that, you know, that GoFundMe page to help me, because last year, as probably most people know, 2020 kind of sucked for everybody, but owning a gym really sucked. We were forced to close for like 5 months. And so in the process of that, I didn't have health insurance. So with this injury, you know, impacted me to the tune of tens of thousands of dollars. And they created that GoFundMe page, and, you know, it exploded within days, and over 900 people shared it. And I think over 370 people contributed to it. And it was just, I, I, I was speechless. I didn't even know what to say to Sam for creating it, but just the community that supported me in this process of the injury and recovery, and all the people that, you know, basically cheer me on every single day. I post something and I get 100 responses, just like, keep it up, don't stop. And the fact that people are messaging me, like, you know, saying like, I'm following you and I'm getting after it now too. You know, they were, you know, quarantined forever in 2020, and they felt like, you know, I'm motivating them to get back to their health. So I'm humbled and very appreciative of all the people that have been supporting me through this ordeal.
No doubt. Yeah. And I think it's amazing. Like your drive and determination, like, For those of people who haven't gone through an injury and are wondering, well, maybe I should go for a jog or something like that. It's like you've overcome so much. And, you know, I think it's awesome that you're inspiring people to get back into their health, as it is very important. Yeah. You know, we'll touch base a little bit more about, you know, your realm of passion for fitness and wellness. I want to touch base first with you and have you kind of introduce to us your experience with beach soccer and how, you know, I know that you've played for the national team, and I guess I just want to kind of hear more about your story and introduction to beach soccer.
Yeah, so it started way back in 2000. It's amazing to go back that far, but in 2000 was my first year playing in the North American Sand Soccer Championships. And how it actually came to be was some friends of mine from college that we all lived in Eastern Pennsylvania. And we said, hey, there's a tournament in Virginia Beach. Let's go. and they're like, you know, it's on the sand, but hell, it's a vacation. Let's go have fun and play soccer on the sand. And had no really experience playing on the sand at that point. But we just had a blast. And that year that for Virginia Beach in the tournament, it was very much a transition type year. So that year was the last year before they really created the pro division. So that year was fun. And then we found out, like, becoming part of the, you know, tournament contact information, all that stuff, where they were creating that kind of pro division the following year. So in 2001, I think I remember correctly, you know, it wasn't U.S. soccer, but there was a, you know, pro beach soccer became involved in the sand soccer championships, and they put a nice stadium up, and some of the national team players, they kind of like divided up amongst the pro level teams. So we entered into that, and then actually one of my former national team players, Jevin Albuquerque, was on our team that year, which was fun, you know, blast to have him on, because he was, you know, an icon on that team even at that time. And so we did well. We placed third, you know, took some prize money home, and then it just got in my blood. It was just something that it was like, oh my, I love this. Like, I absolutely loved it and wanted more. And at that time, there really wasn't more. Like, it was Virginia Beach and that was about it. But then it just, like, every year, you know, we started as a team just like, okay, we're going to train for this and really go after it. And so, like, 2002, we did really well. You know, I think we probably placed in the top four. 2003, same thing. We might even place, like, second or third in that tournament as well. And then at that point, I think in 2003, if I remember correctly, it would have been 2003 that the national team head coach, Beto, was brought his team up, which was the 10 called Flamelia. And that's, you know, Francis played on that team and Beto Lima and some of the other national team players. And that was the first year in 2003, we actually beat them. And
that was probably some fantastic
factors, and they might have some excuses on that year, but we beat them. And so the head coach, you know, started, like, you know, bringing some of our guys. So my friend Alan Charles ended up being one of the first players off our team to make the national team, and then he ended up having a knee injury the following year. So in 2004, that was my first experience being invited to play on the national team. And so that first tournament was in February of 2004 down in Rio for what was then the World Championships. And that was just an experience that I will never, ever forget. Worked my butt off to be ready for that, fitter than I've ever been. But if you think about it, like, this might attest to my motivation and drive, but if you can think about what's January, December, January, and February in Pennsylvania is pretty damn cold. And so I'm out there on, beach volleyball courts training every day, and had, some days I had to shovel the snow or at least kind of break through the ice a little bit. And
that's just a warm up. It's just a warm up for your training session.
Yeah, exactly. So, so that was tough, but I loved it. So kind of played in that first tournament in 2004. And then we went to Portugal that August, to play in the tournament in Portugal. I can't think, the Figueira de Foz is Portugal. So that was that second tournament I played in. And then the following year, which was really exciting because FIFA took over running beach soccer at that point. So the first ever beach soccer World Cup was in 2005. And we had to go back to Rio, and it was in the spring, if I remember correctly, it was probably in March that we went down there and had to qualify. And that was fun. We ended up playing against Mexico, Canada, Brazil, which smoked us. But ended up coming out of our bracket and then ended up playing two more games. But we ended up beating Argentina for third place in that qualifier tournament, which was really exciting. And then we got invited back then because of that placement for the first ever FIFA Beach Soccer World Cup. And it was back in Rio again in 2005. So just such a fun experience to be with, playing with those guys and, Philip Jow and some of these icons that were on that team, beach soccer icons who really started the sport. Philip was one of those guys that was on the first ever national team for beach soccer, and Jevin and, some of these guys, even Philip was probably one of the first players to be drafted in the MLS, draft when the MLS was first started. So it was a really exciting time for me, just being able to say that it was almost like a surreal, like, am I here? Like, am I really here? But time of my life that I will never, never forget. And even from then on, as the sport grew and, my life, changing and having kids and all that stuff, and obviously not being able to dedicate as much time and obviously as the sport was growing and especially in Florida and California and those guys being able to train together every day, my time on the national team, was fleeting, but, going back to Virginia Beach every year and every year since, it's kind of one of my claim to fames of being in beach soccer. Not many players, and I can probably name a handful of them that have played in that tournament longer than me, but there's not many. I'm going to continue. So one of those things, that motivates me in my recovery and everything in my beach soccer career is I plan to be there this year. And not just be there, but actually play. And so that is one of my motivating factors to get back to full strength and full health and play in that tournament again. And not just playing it, I want to play in that pro division just like I've always done. And, knock on wood that I'll be able to do that. But I'm working my ass off to get there.
If there's anyone who's going to be able to do it through your motivation that I've seen, at least, it would be you, Ryan, for sure. One question that kind of brings me to, having so much experience, not only on the national level, but through, that Virginia Beach tournament, the North American Sand Soccer Championships. I guess my question to you is when did you see the level spike in competition? You look back and you see the stadium that you talk about and how not many people know this. There were not necessarily bleachers there every time. There was that big mound of sand on the other side that you got to sit on. And for me yep. personally, I enjoyed that. You know, I love that. But I guess in your mind, when do you think that the competition spiked, and do you attribute that maybe to the FIFA World Cup coming into fruition?
Yeah, I mean, I think that back in 2005, the sport was still fledgling at best. We had always hoped about, maybe getting into the Olympics, and I'm shocked that it's not there. I mean, there's no reason why it shouldn't be there. I mean, use the sand volleyball court venue. It's the same venue. I mean, there's no reason why it shouldn't be there. So that's get off my platform for that. But I think, thinking back over the years of my team, my experience at the sand soccer championships and even playing at such a high level. And I remember, there was one year, and I'm going to rack my brain a little bit on what year this was, but two players from the Brazilian national team came up to play in Virginia Beach, and that was Nene and Junior Nagal. And they were the pinnacle of beach soccer at that time. So we played against them in the World Cup in 2005, and they were there in 2004. So I knew them well, and we ended up playing them in the finals. So PA Azuri played, the boys from Brazil is what they called themselves in the finals, and we were beating them. We were up, and then Junior Nagal and Nene just said, "Okay, we're gonna play now," and ended up beating us. I think we were up 2-0 and going into the third period, if I remember correctly, and they ended up beating us 4-2. Because they just said, "Okay, we're gonna go now."
Into the third period, wow, that must have been tragic.
It crushed us because I mean, I gave everything I had at that moment, and I remember our goalkeeper at the time, Chris Getter. He took a shot from because Nene was like shorter and so much faster. I mean, he's probably the fastest person I've ever seen on sand, and he turned me around one time and just took this freaking blast and hit our keeper in the chest, and it like took the wind out of him. And he took his shirt up and he said, just had that ball freaking plastered on his chest. And at that moment, I'm like, shh, like, okay, here we go. That was fun, but I'd have to say, I mean, we were obviously very, very competitive at that point, still being in the top, top four, top five in that tournament. And then, years go by and, we're still, my team was aging because there was myself and others, of my year, still playing. And, but the level of talent just started like skyrocketing at probably, 2008, 2009, 2010, somewhere on that range. The level of teams that they were bringing in for that tournament was just, high level. Players were coming in, like being kind of like, I would say like a mercenary type player, jumping on teams that, just because they wanted to be there and play in this tournament as it grew. And now, I'm excited to see, what happens after a year off. I think everybody's going to be itching to play this year. And I hope that this tournament goes off just like it always has been, a phenomenal tournament organizationally. And, you can't compare that to anything else that I've ever been involved in. It's just run top notch. And I think this level, people are going to be itching to be there this year, having a year off. So a lot of players, and even from all over the country, you're seeing teams from Great Lakes. And, and when I was starting off in beach soccer, if we saw a team from that area, I'm like, okay, we got those guys. We're okay.
Without even seeing them play, you probably.
Yeah, like, oh. I know. Like, okay, we got them. If you see a team from Florida or California, you're like, okay, let's scout these guys and see what they're all about. But now, like everywhere, every team has got, solid players, and it's fun to watch the games. You're going to have a handful of teams that are like, being there for the first time and having that eye opening experience, like, oh my God, we're not ready for this. but it's just so fun, being there and watching the level of competition, and it's definitely gotten better and better over the years, that's for sure.
So you talked a little bit about the talent kind of popping up both internationally, and I'd imagine even, you know, in the U.S. there'd be more talented players starting to, you know, be introduced to beach soccer and wanting to be a part of that. In your time with the national team, how, I guess, have you seen the teams that you've played with versus the teams that are playing presently, how have you seen the tactics change in their approach to beach soccer?
Well, number one that's obvious is the goalkeepers are heavily more involved now than they were when I was playing. Our goalkeepers were just shot stoppers, and that's about it, and able to throw the ball out. Now it's become, if your goalkeeper can't play with the ball at his feet, you know, it's a serious detriment to your team. So having that ability, and that's what the U.S. team, I think, has now, is somebody that can bring the ball up and create havoc for the defense of the other team. So that's number one that comes to mind right away. You know, before when I was playing, again, even on the PA Zuri team, you know, we had goalkeepers that just were just pure shot stoppers. And now that the game has evolved, to have the goalkeepers just be a key contributor into the offense.
John King can play with his feet a little bit.
He can. That's why we used him that year, as a goalkeeper. So we brought, you know, that year that we had talked at length, and John was in goal for us at PA Zuri, and we had another goalkeeper too that was just a pure shop stopper. But if we needed John to step in there, and he did. Come out with the ball and distribute it and all that stuff. We needed him to do that. And he's an athletic person. I mean, he can freaking jump and, you know, and just very athletic as a person. So he's awesome there in goal. And that's what we needed to do to evolve as a team. Cause without that, you're struggling.
Yeah, definitely. And were any of the acrobatics involved around, like, were there a lot of team players on your squad that, you know, could pull off the bike as well as a lot of the people on the team?
There was definitely a handful that could. Beto Lima comes to mind. He would always try to bike it. Jevin was one. He was a tricky guy. I remember a goal that he scored. It was just came up, you know, got fouled and came up to take the shot, and he just chipped the goalkeeper, and the goalkeeper had no idea. And just put it in the far corner. But Jevin was another player. But as a whole, the acrobatics has improved greatly. Probably now almost anybody on the team can throw a bike at you. And you see that in the training videos that see, you know, that you guys post out on Full On Beach Soccer, and everybody's, you know, throwing bikes out there right now. And when I was playing, that didn't happen as much, especially from all the other teams. Now you'll see it from Brazil, and you know, there were some goals that they scored that the ball never touched the ground from, you know, it was bing, 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 bing,
start,
you know,
finish. Goal. Yeah.
And they were just head and shoulders above everybody at that time. And now the playing field has leveled significantly, where Brazil and Portugal and Spain were like, they're the teams that are winning everything back when I was playing. And now, you know, that's why you play the game. You never know. Teams from all over the place, you know, Russia came out of, like, where did they come from and why are they so good? And just teams are training now. I mean, they, you know, when we played, even in 2005, you know, when we played Mexico, it's night and day. I mean, we beat them handily. Now Mexico has a freaking balls team. I mean, they're good. Even the smaller countries in Central and South America are good. So it's now harder than ever. Even, you know, those years that the U.S., you know, had a hard time qualifying for the World Cup, there's a couple years that we couldn't even qualify. So I think now the focus in the U.S. has gotten significantly better. I mean, Francis is doing a phenomenal job right now with promoting the sport and really showcasing, you know, guys all over the country. He's got, you know, training camps in Florida and training camps in California, and he's doing Zoom meetings, you know, with players all over the country and making sure that they're doing their training and getting all that in. We didn't have that. I mean, I trained on my own because I was motivated to do it, but you know, you need that accountability too. And I think Francis is doing that right now.
Definitely. No, I would agree. I think at least from when I've viewed beach soccer and, you know, obviously gone back and looked at previous games played and throughout the years and everything, the game has evolved for sure. And I think that was the one thing that you could really appreciate being in the audience of those pro games is seeing the goalkeeper, you know, balance the ball on their thigh, dribble it forward. And then, you know, if they take a shot, then the other team knows that they have to step, or if they do step, then they're down a player on the attack going forward. So you're right. Like the game has evolved substantially. I think that it's awesome to see that countries that might not necessarily thrive on the grass are thriving on the sand. And like you mentioned, like Russia, they have indoor facilities where their club teams are playing, you know, ideally year round. And that's something that it shows when they get to the national platform and playing in that front as well. So another question I have for you, just on the topic of training, and I know that you have a passion for fitness and wellness. How have you seen, or have you seen any results of cross training amongst, like, you know, in gym workouts versus like getting on the sand and doing some fitness on the sand and, you know, various drills in that front? Do you see results that the sand contributes to soccer players in general?
Yeah, actually. So I have a few athletes that when they train with me, probably in the spring, summer, I'll take them onto the beach, and it's just a different level. You know, the fitness level required to, and the muscles used are so heavily on calf strength, and you're seeing that, you know, the turnover footwork and things like that just have to speed up and be a little bit different on the sand. So it's, you're using muscles that you generally don't use on grass. So it just changes the level. And I take a lot of my athletes on the sand. I was training a pro hockey player, and he would train like 4 days a week. And as he was getting ready to go off to his training camp, we would spend about two of those 4 days out on the beach. And that's just awesome. His fitness level went from here, you know, it's already here, it went up to here. And he always liked having somebody push him. So I should actually train with him. Like, so we would do it together. So we'd set up cone drills and start stop and all this stuff. And we'd go at it each other and compete, you know, against each other out on the sand. Now, he was a little bit younger than me, but I'm like, you're not beating me, man.
You're not gonna make it easy.
It was fun to see him and push him. It was a lot of fun. So, and then also, you know, with that, having the ability to take a team. So we're working with a group called Superb Soccer. And part of the process of that is actually they get experience of all three elements. So they get grass training, they get futsal training, and they get beach soccer training. So depending on the time of year, we just cycle through. They're playing grass, you know, for the most part, but in the wintertime, we take them inside and play futsal. And then in the summertime, we have a beach soccer league now that is starting to evolve here in Wilmington, North Carolina. So we're really starting to incorporate that into all of our training. So they'll train, and coming up this spring, we're really kind of going to be ramping that up a little bit more. So they'll have training on the sand. So we're going to do fitness training on the sand, and then we'll do, you know, soccer training on the sand. And then we'll play on weekends and have like a little bit of a, you know, a league going on a Sunday afternoon. So that's going to be really ramping up this year. So I think it's such a good experience for kids because it's just different elements. So obviously in futsal, the ball's on the ground, you want to control it that way. On grass, it's going to be a little bit of a mixture, but you know, it's pretty much even, you know, that you're going to be very predictable. And then the beach is just obviously very unpredictable, and the ability to lift the ball and control the ball in the air and add that element that they're really not used to in the other areas in futsal and grass. I think it makes a well-rounded athlete, but you're still playing soccer, but just that different element changes the way you play the sport and changes the way your body moves. So as a professional you know, strength and conditioning coach, I would much rather see players do multi sports. And I would say that, you know, futsal, grass and beach, it's still soccer, but it's a different, your body has to react differently. So you're not getting into the same repetitive type motion every single time. So I kind of like that, that aspect of it, how the beach changes the way the body reacts to training.
Yeah, I always talk about how, at least growing up with three younger siblings, you can tell how impressionable they are. But that's not only in, you know, what they view and hear, but also, you know, how their bodies are developing. And I think you're right. I think exposing them to a multi-surface, even if it's the same sport, it's still approaching their growth, you know, physically in a different way that they might not traditionally be exposed to. So I agree with you fully, and I think that's awesome that big things are happening in North Carolina for you and the groups that you're working with. Before we wrap up, Ryan, I want you to have the opportunity to plug that event that's coming up with Superb Soccer and anything else that you'd like to plug.
Yeah, so we have I'm bringing up the thing right now. So April 24th and 25th in it's Curry Beach, but it's called Fort Fisher's Recreation Areas. We're having a first Superb Beach Soccer tournament. So you can register at superbsoccer.com for the Beach Soccer Festival. So I'm really excited. This will be kind of U8 through adult. We're going to try to get an adult division going with that as well. And it's boys and girls, and we're trying to really kind of develop beach soccer here in North Carolina. There has been a beach soccer element. They used to have what's called a beach blast. So it was like a 3v3 with small goals, just playing on the beach and having a really good time. And that was always being very successful. Now we're trying to bring a beach soccer rules, tournament to this area. And we're starting to have some success now. I think we have probably about 50 or 60 players within that organization that wants to do it. There's a group out of Charlotte called Barefoot Futsal, and they do beach soccer there as well. And they're planning on bringing teams into the area. So I'm really excited about the possibility of this year making this tournament like a good start and good stepping stone for the future. And I'm just excited about, being able to host the beach soccer after all my years of experience with doing it, playing in it. I want to give back to those kids and really help them develop. And then ultimately we're going to try to take a couple teams from this area up to Virginia Beach this June. So that's the goal.
Yeah. I can't imagine the feeling of everything coming full circle for you being, on the national level and then being able to kind of give back, but also still continue to play, in which I hope that I do see you in Virginia. I hope I do have the opportunity to even potentially play, against you. I think that would be awesome. And Ryan, I want to wish you well on your recovery. Like I said, I'm following along with it. I think it's an inspirational story to say the least. And I think if anyone's got the determination, like I mentioned earlier, it's you. So I want to wish you well on that front and hope everything goes over well for you on your path here.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And great talking to you too. I look forward to seeing you in person in Virginia.
Yeah, that sounds good to me. That sounds like my kind of annual thing that I need for sure.
Right. Cool.
Take it easy, Ryan. Appreciate you.
Thanks again. Yeah. We'll talk again soon.